Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, the Woj Pod. Get the inside scoop on all the biggest NBA news as the biggest names in the game join ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski for the Woj Pod, featuring in-depth conversations, breaking news reactions and analysis, and coverage of the biggest events on the NBA calendar, as well as an occasional deep dive into some of the most notable events in NBA history. The playoffs are in full swing, so be sure to check it out. Follow the Woj Pod as well at the right time wherever you get your podcasts. Also, The Ultimate Fighter is back, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract is on ESPN+. Featherweight champ Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega coach men's bantamweights and middleweights who have put their lives on hold for the chance to pursue their UFC dreams. Stream new episodes every Tuesday, only on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear. More driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest on, and joining us now, check him out on The Daily Show on Comedy Central, Roy Wood Jr. And Roy, just this fast, the entire playoffs have collapsed. Chris Paul was out for health and safety protocols, and now Kawhi Leonard is out because he got that bad knee.
Wait, why do you keep dropping these bombshells on me?
Because I'm getting them dropped on me.
Just because y'all done with COVID don't mean COVID done with y'all. COVID is like, I'm still here. Going on, open it. Oh, y'all want to do 100% capacity? Bet. Watch this.
Yo, I was watching that game last night, and I was like, damn, that's a lot of people in there.
Oh, y'all going to pack them all in there like that? I bet. Watch this. If you're the league, how do you mitigate this? Because this is a playoffs now. You can't kick this can down the road and make up the game as part of 2 off nights if it's necessary for the playoff seeding. It's the playoffs, fam. Do you let the Suns go out? Because you got a contact trace if you're serious about this. Or do you not count contact tracing? Like, if I was in the room with you and you got it, but I'm vaccinated, am I still susceptible to the same 7-day sit down as a non-vaccinated?
The vaccinated people are not. That was the thing. They tried to incentivize so much for the vaccine, just really in terms of it's going to be a lot less hassle for your life. Like, they really tried to do that. And apparently that didn't work with enough people, right? Like, not everybody wound up getting on board. Now, here's how I think the league can mitigate this. I'm not saying this is how they will mitigate this, but how they can mitigate this is whatever it takes to make Utah and the Clippers go 7. We trying to stretch this thing out as long as I possibly can. Scott Foster, you need to be like them dudes in the military. Have you a bag that's just packed by the door? Because at any moment, you can snatch it up. Tony Brothers, they might go tell Steve Javy, like, yo, it's time for you to make a comeback. Where is Dick Bavetta? We can get him out here. But whatever it takes, this needs to go 7.
Them refs for that series going to have that Buffalo Wild Wings phone. Was that commercial where people called a ref? Yeah, keep the game going real quick, yeah. Ref. Go on, call a foul or two real quick.
Yeah. Like, that's what it needs to be.
I just think that this is the reality of the world in which we live. And if you're willing to take those types of risks, then it's at the detriment of the team, but to the benefit of yourself. So I can't feel bad.
Is it to the benefit of themselves?
To their own perceived benefit.
Oh, yeah. But I'd say, now, what I'll be curious about is, like, which kind of COVID he gets, right? Because I think we've all had friends with COVID, had it, you know, people
had it. I had that 4-day lay down back in January. Cold sweats. I didn't have I had no fever. But let me tell you, when I couldn't do nothing to keep my feet warm, and I couldn't do nothing to cool off the rest of my body. Like, man. Just burning up, but no fever. I don't even know what that means. But I know it was 4 days of it.
I had a partner that had to go to the hospital twice off of it, right? Twice. But here's the thing. COVID does stuff. His case, I didn't even know these were things, right? Like, the stuff you were talking about, I'm like, oh, yeah, I heard of that one. He went in the first time with abdominal pain and cramping, like, to the point of having to go to the hospital. Like, that's how tight up his stomach was. And then it was that thing where you can't sleep. And so you talk to him and he was legitimately delusional. Like he couldn't keep up from down because he had basically been awake for so long. And then the oxygen levels dropped. And then he had to go back to the hospital again after this went down.
So on top of the weird symptoms, then he got hit with all the original recipe symptoms.
Yes. Yes. That is correct.
You can't play no 48 minutes of basketball.
What I'm saying. I just don't understand how people can hear about this and people be like, look, at the very least with the vaccine, it won't be like that, right? Like, you won't get the terrible life-threatening symptoms. And people being like, nah, I'm going to just roll the dice on this. People who's on planes, going through arenas, all of this stuff. Like, at some point, we do get to judge people beyond the fact that they're not getting vaccinated.
Here's what he needs. He needs Nuggets to go 7. And if he's not in conference finals, he also needs that to go 7. And then pray for the finals. Yeah. Because even after on the other side of my 4 days, and I felt great, like day 5, it was like the storm had passed. Like there was no gradual, it was just day 5, all right, you better again, going back to green flag racing. I still tested positive for another week and a half. So he could feel great and still not be able to get back out on the court.
Right.
So I just don't know, man. I just think that, you know what's interesting with the vaccine? Is with athletes, it's this, whatever it takes, and I give my all, and blood, sweat, and I'm in the gym 23 hours. I ain't seen my kids in 2 years, because I just, anything to win. You got to be willing to die on the court, except for the vaccine, because that thing might have a microchip in it, you know, make it crazy. I don't want to win that bad. But anything else, we are soldiers. It's like, come on, man.
Well, that's why I look at LeBron crazy in this, right? Like when, and the reason I do this is, and people got a little upset with me last year because I've been a bit more pointed in some of my criticisms of LeBron in the last year, and not on-court LeBron as much as off-court LeBron. And I believe that off-court LeBron means well and has done a lot of really good things for the society at large. However, I think that he also likes to center himself on these things in ways that just, it ain't about you. Like, even if you're the dude that's at the front, like, you get called to the front, you don't force yourself to the front, and you don't tell us about how you the man at the front. But this was the time for him to be the man at the front, right? Like, he was showing up to games last year with the Leader to Society t-shirts. You can't be the leader to society and then be the guy talking about the vaccine as a personal decision. You know what I mean? Like at this point, and a thing that is killing not just people in general, but killing black people in particular. If you were going to be the leader to society, this was the time to be like, hey, man, what we need to do as players and everything else is to get out here and get this vaccine. Bill Russell out here getting a shot, doing commercials to get a vaccine, right? Like, this is what the society needed, was for you to stand up and be like, hey, this is what we got to do in order to get us to where we are going. And cats like he and Chris Paul, who view themselves as leaders in this, went on the it's a personal decision call. And it bothers me as I look at it and we stand where we are, because they did have the ability to be influential figures to help all of us collectively do better about getting this vaccine thing done so we can get back to the life part. And they're like, no, we're just going to get back to the life, even if it kills us. That's why I'm looking at it the same way you are. Like, yo, I'll do anything to get on the court, but you won't do this.
No, I ain't going to do that, but I'm a warrior. And warriors are going to be out there and do anything and die. You willing to die on the court with the ball in your hand, but not that vaccine, man. I don't know about that vaccine. Now, I'm going to get it, but I ain't going to tell y'all I got it, because I don't want my fellow coworkers to get mad at me and make them think I'm forcing them, because I'm still my friend and I like them. Maybe it's that. You know what I meant to ask you? I saw an article, because we're getting into this question about mandatory vaccinations in the workplace. That's starting to bubble up. I know we can double check it. I know Delta and United said they're only going to hire vaccinated people, which in itself is not really mandating a vaccination.
Right.
But it's like, you want to work here, here's the qualification.
You want a job?
4 years of college, 2 years of VOTech, and also you need to make sure you get that Moderna. In an article I saw, it posed a very fair question. In a workplace where vaccinations are not required, is it a HIPAA violation? Is it an HR violation to ask your coworker if they've been vaccinated? Do you have a right as an employee and you got a cubicle across from whoever. A lot of these offices and the way they were pre-COVID, it ain't no 6 feet between you and the next dude. Y'all little work terminal is right there side by side like two detectives in a small town.
Right.
Can you turn to him and go, hey, did you get that shot or not?
If I can't ask, I ain't got to come. That's how I feel about that. Right? If I can't ask this person, then I ain't coming. It's a fair question.
Then does that person have to tell the truth? Do I even have to answer you?
And see, and that becomes the problem. So I had to take a trip for the first time over the weekend. I had to go to Atlanta for a memorial service. Got to see my parents, you know, all of that stuff. And somebody asked me if I was going to check out one of my partners while I was there. And I said, I didn't think so. And they said, why? And I said, because if I ask him if he's vaccinated, he's going to tell me yes. But I don't know if he's going to tell me the truth. I just couldn't roll the dice on that. Could not do that.
I'll say this. As a person that supports vaccinations and getting vaccinated, it is an awkward question to ask. But once you're on the other side of that, there is something freeing about it. So I went Cubs Mets this week. Saw the Cubs lose on Monday night. And I was sitting in a part of the stadium. Thank you to the alcohol sponsor. That was very kind to open up their suite to me and my guests. But they required that you show a vaccination card. You had to show proof of vaccination. So you knew when you stepped up in that spot, everybody had gotten a shot. I did a comedy show in New York City last week. And when we were trying to figure out, all right, we're going to do 5 or 6 little shows at this little spot. How do we want to handle social distancing? And then the girl that I was booking it with, she was like, nah, people need to show cards. You need to submit all that information. And when you show up to the show, you need to have that on you too. And I was there at the table as I'm walking in and I'm watching people. It was almost like U.S. Customs. Like, do you have your papers? Where are your papers? And it was awkward. It was very awkward. This is not a good comparison, but it's the only comparison I have based on the scope of the life that I've lived. It was that awkward transactional moment that happens before a lap dance. Where you're at a strip club and then, hey, baby, you're so cute. Now you want to have a good time? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, it's going to be $60, baby. Pay him and make sure the money's good. And then, all right, now you can come and enjoy yourself. But on the other side of that, everybody had a good ass time. Now, are people going to go on Photoshop and make themselves their own fake vaccine cards to take a picture of? Absolutely. There's going to be some of that. But all you can do is put up barriers to make it harder for people who are on the wrong side of that. Because I think if you're lazy enough to not get vaccinated, you're not on Photoshop making fake Moderna vaccination cards.
No, but they are going like on eBay and buying fake cards. Like they are not necessarily willing to put in the elbow grease required to make their own. But there is definitely somebody out there that's here for you. And by the way, if you are the person on the eBay selling fake cards, I hope you understand you are going to do some calendars for that when they find you.
I will say this, though, about the vaccine from a research side of the game. It is still very early from an R&D aspect for what we have injected into ourselves. However, when I play the odds of will this turn me into the dude that was in the toxic sludge in the original RoboCop or kidney failure? I have a friend right now in Texas. She hasn't been able to taste food for a year
because of COVID.
Perfectly healthy, COVID negative now. But as a result of that, yeah. Just straight up can't taste anything. I know people with hearing issues, like it's weird. So when we get into what's the risk, I'll go with science.
Well, I would say the thing though about the being early in it from R&D perspective, because that was my concern early also. And then you realize they had done a lot of the research before we even knew COVID existed. Basically, they're working off of things they'd already done before and they feel good about and then did a little tweak on it to make this one particularly work and then go from there. Like, that's actually safer and surer than I think that people realize that it is. Like, no, like, I understand people initially having questions about doing this. But now we're at a point where it's just like, come on, don't you realize that all the smart people around you are doing this and all the dumb in your life or not? Like at some point, I do think that people need to start doing that. Take an inventory in your life. Go line up all the people you know that got that jab, and then go line up all the people you know who did not get that jab. Which side of it is the dummies? Because we all know a few. Not everybody on the not jab side is a dummy. Not all of them, But the dummies are over there with you.
I had a conversation with the receptionist at a doctor's office who hasn't gotten the vaccine. A receptionist at a doctor's office who hasn't gotten the vaccine. And her justification was, because of some pre-existing conditions that I have, the vaccine runs the risk of activating some autoimmune conditions that I have. And that, for me, is too great of a risk versus just dipping and dodging around people. And she feels comfortable in a room with vaccinated people. She's one of those people, I wear the mask if it make you feel comfortable, but I really don't want to wear this thing. Mm-hmm. So there's some people where I'm like, all right, you've made your choice. You've chosen why you're not going to do it, because there isn't enough R&D for her to know whether or not this is going to kill me or put me in anaphylactic, whatever, blobbity blah, allergic type situation. But it's just tough, man. It's tough to be out. I'm trying to figure this out, too, because, you know, I got a 5-year-old. I keep trying to ask the question. I finally got an answer from somebody. Can a vaccinated person be an asymptomatic carrier? To which they told me no, or extremely unlikely, whatever the probability is, extremely low. But, you know, I'm vaccinated and still rocking masks. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I go to the club. I sit in the back. I walk on stage. I tell my jokes. I'm sorry. There will be no meet and greet. There will be no pictures after the show. No disrespect to y'all. I had a great time in Philadelphia. Somebody sent me a tweet. Why you ain't come out after the show? Because I don't know y'all. Respectfully, I got you on the next time.
As people can clearly see, this isn't over, man. This is still a thing. This is still active in these streets. It's still out here running. It's like, 'cause I try not to be, generally speaking, too judgmental with people, not just because it's like a personal decision, but I understand a measure of skepticism that people have, just like, especially Black people, like toward doctors. Like, I get a certain measure of skepticism. But also, I feel like somebody told you about Tuskegee one time, you don't even know what the hell the story was on that situation, and now you're just breaking this back out here in order to get it right. Go get in the same line as white people, and then you can feel sure that you're not getting the Tuskegee dose, right? Like, go make sure they real white people, you know what I'm saying? If they speak Spanish, they might get the bad dose too. I don't know. Like, make sure you go find some WASP, get the same shot as them, and then you ain't got to worry about Tuskegee, because they ain't going to kill them.
Here's a question, though, about LeBron and Chris Paul, since they're kind of in the same burrito on this. Here's the other thing we say about athletes. You know, athletes call themselves warriors, but then we also tell athletes it's important to choose yourself and do what's right for you. The team yes. will replace you. The team will let you go. The team does not care about you. So at all times, make sure that you're making decisions for you. Any player that chooses to not get vaccinated, does that not fall under the same argument?
I have personally decided that that is stupid. Look, you don't get nowhere by telling people stop doing that because what you're doing is stupid, because people get defensive and everything else. And I recognize that. But what we not about to do is eradicate the idea that some things are stupid. And some things I do believe are stupid. And I do believe that by and large, this reluctance that people have about getting this jab are for largely stupid reasons. Like you said, the woman that you talked about, that is not a stupid reason, right? Like, she believes because of her autoimmune situation or whatever it is, that seems perfectly reasonable, and I got you. I don't find very many people who give me reasons for not getting the jab that don't sound stupid, because most of them don't actually have reasons. They just not gonna do it. They just scared.
I've done some reading on where. That's always my next question. Anytime somebody right. says they've done the reading, I go, where? I
well, it wasn't read. Really reading. It was a video. Like, here's my question, too, for those people also, because it's like, these people you talking to, I'm assuming, are people that you like talk to about other stuff, like fairly regularly and the likes, you know? Well, why ain't you tell me about this when you read it? Why are you keeping all this information to yourself? Like, I don't know about you, right? But like, people like to run things by me, right? I'm kind of the smart friend. They're like, hey, man, what you think about this? You know? And so I have people who run things by me, and I've been like, yeah, I don't really know about this. So forth and so on. And I'm just looking at it like, okay, so you did this reading, but this time you don't need to holler at me about it. This time you don't want me to let you know what the deal is. And as I've talked about on here before, when you ask people you got that jab and their response is not yet. No, just not. Just say not. Ain't no yet. You're not going to do it. There's nothing stopping you from doing it right now. Somebody dropped the not yet. Sam Darnold dropped the not
Sam
yet.
Darnold.
And I've sent, Panthers. Yeah, and I sent the tweet just saying, don't say not yet. You just not going to do it. And then, of course, all the hit dogs popped up And they're like, well, it's obvious that what he means is that he doesn't know the long-term consequences of this. That's what you got from Not Yet. That's with him. I need to get more information. And magically, you know exactly what information it is that he needs. No, that's your story. And now you projecting that onto other people because you know that I think that you are stupid. So hearing me say that I think what he's saying might be ridiculous means you know I'm saying that you are stupid. And you just might be, man.
How great is it that we live in a time where we question science and deny history in our textbooks? It's so awesome that we just, nah, screw all of that. Is 1+1 still 2? Or are we going to argue about that as well?
It's the collapse of institutions, man. What do people trust? What's left that people across the board trust? Because that's what it seems like to me. It's just like people, there's nothing that we at large agree upon and trust. Like, you ever see that clip where somebody asked David Bowie, like in the year 2000, about what the internet was going to be? And he was like, oh, no. What you're going to find out is that there is no universal concept of truth and that we are a fractured people. And the internet is going to show us just how fractured we are, which obviously and exactly proved to be what it is. But we got nothing that people trust.
We agree on the days of the week. We agree on the time of day per the rotation of the earth. We don't agree on the shape of the earth, but we at least all agree it is moving and the sun goes up and down. We don't even agree on daylight saving time. No, we don't agree on time. Take that back. There's places that are getting rid of daylight savings time.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Which brings me to another question I had for you about an appropriate or inappropriate thing to say to someone in the workplace. I had this debate with a coworker earlier this week. Can a white person wish a black person a happy Juneteenth?
I mean, they can, but...
See, no, that hesitation right there.
You ain't got to do that, though. It ain't necessary.
Like, how do you handle Hanukkah?
I don't.
With your coworkers?
It never comes up. I've come to find that our Jewish brothers and sisters don't care about Hanukkah nearly as much as we do.
Wait, what? I enjoy Hanukkah because it's more days off from work. Like, yo, let me tell you something. Moving to New York?
Oh, yeah. Whole new world.
Yo, Alabama, down south, you are not getting all them Jewish holidays off. But in New York City? Oh, man. You just moving to New York, you gain at least an extra 10 to 15 days off work.
Well, like, I didn't just know them Jewish holidays existed until I hired my agent, who, you may not know this, but my agent is Jewish. And
don't like, you call me on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, because he's Orthodox and, like, very much so Orthodox, right? Like, he's to the letter on all that. Sundown on Friday, I'm not going to hear from him until sundown on Saturday if something comes up over the weekend, you know, and all that stuff. But I had no idea that the holidays come up. And let me tell you something. It ain't nothing like having some new money on the line in September. And you're like, next thing you know, it's like, yeah, I'll be able to talk to my agent in 4 days, right? I just had no idea that these holidays existed. But in all this time and talking with him, we don't never really find ourselves like talking about Hanukkah. It just doesn't come up like the other ones, like the holidays. They're at different points. Hanukkah, the Jewish people around me don't tend to bring that one up.
But here's the thing. The reason why I'm asking is that the feds just made Juneteenth a federal holiday. So you're supposed to get like Fridays off or something. I don't know what the pending popularity of Juneteenth will be nationally. You know, I don't know if it'll have some Flag Day energy or if we rock it like we do Labor Day. I think for black people, we'll rock it like Labor Day. I just don't know if coast to coast. As more people are becoming aware and awakened and wanting to start a dialogue about the racial reckoning, you're going to have people that are going to come up and go, hey, happy Juneteenth. And I can't say it back to you. So what do I say?
Yeah, you too. You too.
What do I say back? Like, I'm happy that you're happy for me that I'm celebrating the ending of something terrible. But also, what do I say back to you? They're doing a Juneteenth. Like, here's a perfect example, Paul. They're doing a Juneteenth pub crawl in New York. Yeah, I could find the flyer for you in a second. They're black-owned establishments. They're going to black-owned establishments.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just, when I hear the words pub crawl, I do not think of black-owned establishments. I just don't. Like, that's not, that's typically not, like, when you think about people who do pub crawls, they also wish you happy Juneteenth and you don't know what to say. You know, like, I don't feel like I'm wrong here in that. Okay, we back together now, though. Okay.
These are black-owned establishments. Black people going to black-owned establishments. I feel like a white person could take part in that, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you want, I mean, if you want to invite them in, like, this is my thing though about Juneteenth and everything.
How
else.
Inclusive will Juneteenth become? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because
well,
it's
it'll just turn
growing
into
as a holiday.
Well, for white folks, it's just going to be Columbus Day, and that's fine. And to be honest, for black folks, it's just going to be Columbus Day, and that's fine.
So it'll be white people St. Patrick's Day?
I don't even think they're going to get involved in that, because that, oh boy, no. Like, if white people start treating Juneteenth like Cinco de Mayo, what I don't know what the equivalent of the sombreros will be, but it's going to get your ass whooped.
But I mean the way black people treat St. Patrick's Day, where we're just like, yeah, St. Patrick, yeah.
But at the same time, that's like, yo, boy, that's a lot of really drunk white people in places where I might not make it out. Like, I don't know if that's the way I want to play this game. But I did a talk for somebody actually yesterday about this with Juneteenth. And I'm like, Juneteenth lands different with me because I'm from Texas. So to me, it is weird that everybody else is jumping on Juneteenth, because to me, Juneteenth is a specifically Texas occasion. It is particularly relevant to Texas. June 19th, 1865 is when we found out in Texas that the slaves had been emancipated. And then it goes out from there. Then you get places like Oakland, which is basically a city full of people from Texas. They do Juneteenth stuff up there. When the Great Migration came from Texas, we tended to go west. But like, I remember when we moved to Texas and people were telling me about Juneteenth, I'd never heard of it before. I never really heard it in other places. People were like, oh yeah, we had a Juneteenth picnic where I was from. Yeah, y'all had a picnic at this place. In Texas, it's Juneteenth everywhere, but it's Juneteenth among black people. And we do not need this to be acknowledged by white people. I do not need the federal government to acknowledge this as a day of celebration, because I know they don't believe it. I know they don't actually do this. Now, if they just want to take a day off, that's fine. But you ain't got to wish me happy nothing, because ain't no black people wishing you no happy Juneteenth. Either y'all going to the barbecue or you not. But it ain't like we just around here talking about it. Like, we don't have to get together and talk about what Juneteenth means to us. Like, that's the question at the talk I did yesterday. And they're just like, you know, so, you know, what does Juneteenth mean to you? And I'm like, it means we go barbecue. Like, holidays ain't, like, we've turned holidays into things that require so much more. You remember when we was a kid, you could go to Memorial Day barbecue without turning on the TV and having to be sad about somebody who died or having to go to Arlington to go visit a relative. You just got up and went to the barbecue. On July 4th, I ain't think about no John Hancock. I ain't think about no Thomas Jefferson.
Not a single American flag present, either.
No, not really. Like, that was the interesting thing, too. Like, when you start moving around white people, you live around black people before, you'd be like, oh, y'all break out flags for this. We just break out the grill.
I literally wouldn't even know where to go buy an American flag until, like, years after college. I don't even think I saw an American flag. Like, outside of ROTC in high school, go buy a flag. I would, I guess, an Army-Navy store, perhaps.
I still don't know where to get an American flag, and I worry that the places to go get this American flag, I might not be welcome. In these places where you can get the American flag, I feel like I could get the American flag. I might be able to get the thin blue line flag. I might be able to get the, you know, the snake. I might be able to get the snake flag, but I bet it ain't got no red, black, and green. But you can't get that.
No, you ain't getting no Pan-African action in there. I feel like there's a degree of, well, I can be blunt, I'm all right with it being a national holiday. Let's sit and let's acknowledge it, because that's what people who don't respect black issues need. You need to understand there has to be a decree, there has to be paperwork attached to it for your ignorant behind to understand and see the gravity of what this is, so that you don't view it as some random just black people turning up during the summer, because it's not that. It has a much deeper meaning than that. And we're already fighting to get stuff in the textbooks. So yeah, until you can get it in the textbooks, whatever we can do, if it means sending everybody home on June 19th every year, take your ass home. Well, why are we going home? Because black people had something terrible done to them. So go home and reflect. Now, yeah, we know you're not going to go home and reflect. You're going to go and you're probably still going to come into work. Some of y'all, depending on the job. I'm okay with it. I just don't know what I would say to somebody if they wish me a happy Juneteenth. I don't think it's not an HR issue.
No.
You know, but
that's not the way I need the so-called ally to show up, I guess is all I'm saying. Like, it ain't that, like, sometimes I do want to look at things and just be like, hey, man, it ain't even that serious, man. And I think it gets hard because, like, especially with the younger folks, with all these things that's happening in the world and stuff like that. And, you know, especially last year, post-George Floyd, a lot of them getting up and making sure that they, you know, they want their employers to know how they feel and they want to be heard. And I think, like, part and parcel with that is wanting these people to, like, show a concern and talk to you and ask you how you're feeling about these matters and the likes, which is the last thing that I want. I don't want you asking me nothing about these things in this personal sense. I just need you to acknowledge the existence of these phenomena in the larger world. But I don't need you to show me your love and empathy in this way. I just don't expect that from you. And that's cool. I don't need the black people at my job to do that neither. It's all right. I just don't require that of you. So you can tell me happy Juneteenth if you want, and I will be nice about it. But I'm just here to tell you, it's really not necessary. It's really, really not. Like, I got calls from the job during a Juneteenth thing. This is somebody who don't work here no more, so nobody care. And he called me. He just wanted to thank me for everything that I was doing. And I was like, dog, I'm just coming to work. Right? Like, it was like after George Floyd, because I was on a lot of shows that I ain't been on since. Right? Like, oh, you know, tell us about this. Talk about it real quick or whatever. And it's always awkward when these ESPN shows that I don't go on call me about this stuff because they not ready for the mic get down. You know, like, I'm not about to cry on TV. I'm probably going to tell some jokes. You know, like my tenor is not good. You know, they'll ask me stuff like, they'd be the one to be like, happy Juneteenth. I'd be like, you know, man, you ain't really got to do that. Like, nobody knows how to respond sometimes.
Boom Money, as we get through this, as America heals.
Yes, yes.
What advice would you have as we heal and awaken and have this dialogue?
Yes. Well, I told you my Riley Cooper story, right?
No, I'll run it.
All right, so I had just come back on the full-time payroll at ESPN. So this is 2013. And I want to say it's a Friday morning in 2013, or Friday afternoon. And I was on the way. I was in the car, and I was going from Miami to Orlando. Why was I going from Miami to Orlando? For the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. Okay. As I'm riding, the Riley Cooper news breaks.
And so now, footage.
Yeah, it's an all hands on deck situation for ESPN to talk about Riley Cooper. But all the black people are at NABJ. So I have just returned to the company. So I know I'm not very high on the telephone tree. Like, I don't know how many people they went through. Stephen A. Can't get them. Wilbon. Can't get them. Jay Adonde. Nope, not picking up the phone either.
Rob Park is still in the mix back then. Everybody's there.
He might have been, right?
Yeah.
And so they go down the list, and then somehow they finally get to me. And so, again, I'm in the car, so I'm just doing a phoner, and they get me. And for those of you who don't remember, Riley Cooper was at a Kenny Chesney concert and got caught by somebody on video saying that he would fight every N-word in the stadium, right? That was he was caught saying. And so I don't even remember who I was on with on SportsCenter, but they have me on SportsCenter, and he talking in that voice, right? Like, it's a very special episode of SportsCenter because this Riley Cooper thing has happened.
It's and, that anchor and probably like Stan Verrett, so they can have an interracial dialogue.
Yeah, but it was just kind of Riley Cooper. Now let us go out and talk to ESPN. Now, like, it's totally possible at this point that this dude who's talking to me doesn't have any idea who I am. I ain't been on the scene really for real, right? So he may have no idea who I am. And so he gets to talking to me about it. And, hey, man, I actually thought it was funny, the whole situation. I even said in the interview at one point, because I was like, you're going to fight all three of them, huh? You're going to fight all three of the black people at the Kenny Chesney concert. That's what you're going to do because you're so big and bad. Oh, okay. That's what you're going to do. And so they're asking me all these questions, and my tone is simply not in line with what they're going for because I'm not where they are. Like, this ain't what matters. This isn't what it's about. No, it's just not that. And so, like, they even got to, should Riley Cooper still be on the Eagles? I'm like, yeah, man, if them dudes in the locker room can make peace with it, that's fine with me. Like, you know, like, it ain't about what we think about it. It's about what the dudes he work with think about it, and they can handle it. Then cool, keep your job. This is what it is. Like, every answer I was giving this dude, he's like, whoa, I did not think that's what I was going to be receiving.
But, Bumani, don't you feel that at some point that he has to atone? How should he apologize
yeah.
to his teammates.
Yeah, see, the thing was, the Black People Museum wasn't open yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish the Black People Museum had been open at that point, because then I could do that thing that they do, like, the Deshaun Jackson and everybody else, where they make you go to the Holocaust Museum when you say something anti-Semitic. You know, I'd be like that. Well, what this person, what this person needs to do is they need to go to the Black People Museum and go see the truth. So the problem with the Black People Museum is you get in there and they talk about like Motown and Smokey Robinson. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kinds of joy in the Black People Museum. Nah, that's why we need that slavery museum, just to go do this to people. When you say something dumb about Black people, we need you to go be sad for 4 hours and then come back and come out and tell us how you have changed, even though you haven't.
Yeah, just why make them work there. Like, just do tours at a civil rights museum.
Yeah, that stuff is effective, by the way. You ever been to that museum across from the King Center?
The one they just built in Atlanta?
Yeah, this 20 years ago, they had an exhibit. It wasn't at the King Center, but it was at the joint across the street, and it was a lynching exhibit. And I went with a company that I was interning with. And let me tell you, brother, that was like a Scared Straight episode. They was out there after that. They couldn't believe it. They had no idea.
The African-American Smithsonian does it right, where they make you start at slavery. Yeah. And then as you walk through the museum, it's like a journey through blackness. And then it ends with like Jordan and Prince and Beyonce. Yes. So you can leave on the upbeat, which is why I tell people, if you go to that museum, that specifically that museum in D.C., you got to block out 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to take a little break. They got a time break. They got a little cafe halfway up as you go up each level. Like, hey, time to take a snack break and reflect and then get back in there. It's done perfectly. But it's one of those museums where they know it's heavy and we know it's going to be a lot. So we're going to end on the happy stuff. And I think maybe that's what you do for Juneteenth. Just let white people work at all these museums as employees.
No, I take them down like my man, I forget the name of, you know, that plantation down in Louisiana that the dude has turned into a museum.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know.
I forget
where
the name of it. He's invited me to come, and I have to remember what the name of it is, because I definitely want to go check it out. See, the thing about plantation tours in the South that y'all got to understand is, if you are not a Southern person, I'll never forget this for the life of me, man. I was in fourth grade, and we had been learning about like the Civil War, whatever, you know, all that stuff. And there was a big plantation in like not far outside of the little town that I went to school in. And I just remember one day the teacher came in and was like, guess what? And I'm like, what? We're going to Liendo Plantation. Woo! All the kids were excited. And there was me like, what's there to see? I don't really understand. I don't really understand. But they going to look at the house. They're not going for any of the sadness.
That's like, you can't. I'm trying to think. We went to one in Memphis. I lived in Memphis till like the second grade. And I remember we went to a plantation, and then they also took us to Alex Haley's house, like all in the same day, which in hindsight, kind of a weird blocking of field trip locations. Also a little grown for a bunch of first and second graders to be going to. Like, I understand, know your history, but like, I remember coming home from it and my pops was like, you know, where'd y'all go? I was like, we went to Alex Haley's house. He was like, good. What did you learn? I was like, that was his house. And like my dad thought that there was some deeper black history, whatever the hell going on. I'm like, nah, they just said this is a house. And then we was like, so who's Alex Haley? And then they were like, oh, you'll figure that out later. Like, that's how they like you talk about all that critical race theory stuff. They just take you on field trips. That's how the school teaches you black stuff. They just, hey, let's just go to a building and learn a little bit of it today for an hour for the whole school year. All right, good job. Alex Haley, Roots. It's a thick book. You'll never read it.
But at least they took you. They wasn't doing that for us.
Well, I remember Birmingham, man. They would take us. We went on some black ass field trips. But that's also a predominantly black city in a predominantly black school system run by mostly black administrators. So you got the civil rights tours. We went to Montgomery and saw where Dr. King preached. They took us to Atlanta to see Ebenezer, and then would take us to Whitewater. Black school administrators know how to balance out the struggle. Because you know what? A good civil rights field trip don't nothing take the edge off of it like some damn McDonald's. Like, I can't explain going to McDonald's after a stressful field trip and you got apple pie money. You're the most popular dude in the damn school, because not everybody could afford apple pie.
Let me tell you this about Ebenezer. That same trip I went to for work, where we went to the King Center and went to the other museum that had the lynching exhibit. And it was also just to go sit in Ebenezer. And I don't know how this goes for everybody else's trip to Ebenezer, but it seems to rotate in and out at the same time. White folks sit until they get I Have a Dream. And then after they get I Have a Dream, a little piece of that, deuces. Thanks for stopping by the booth. That's the end of it, man. This has been a far-ranging podcast. We started off with Chris Paul and COVID and Kawhi Leonard and his bum knee, and we got around to, like, sad field trips, but the joy of the apple pie. And I feel like we just kind of gave people the whole experience right here in 45 minutes, bro.
To you, sir, I do want to wish you a happy Juneteenth. And I found that flyer. Yeah, the Juneteenth Freedom Crawl, supporting black-owned businesses in Brooklyn.
Did you say a freedom crawl? Did you say a freedom crawl?
Now you off it again?
No, I'm just saying, like, we just a freedom crawl.
There's going to be some trial and error as we figure out how to celebrate this newfound national holiday.
Okay, but you realize what's coming next, right? You realize what's coming next. The Juneteenth mattress sale.
Next. Cotton so fresh it feel like your ancestors picked it. The Juneteenth pillow.
That's all I'm saying. Like, all this
Egyptian cotton.
All this stuff eventually just turns into a sale. That's all. That's all. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is Roy Jones Jr.
You right.
Check. Hey, Roy, I called you Roy Jones Jr. That's a different.
I don't
different
care. I'll
person.
Be him too. He from the South.
Roy Wood. He from Alabama.
Yeah, Pensacola.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Alabama. Basically. That's what I'm saying, from Alabama. I know what Pensacola is. That's Alabama. I mean, Roy Jones and Emmitt Smith, they both from Alabama. And if you don't realize it, I mean, Roy Jones be talking about watching Roosters fight. And I don't know how much more Alabama it gets than that.
So disrespectful.
How's it disrespectful? It's the truth.
The Florida Panhandle is a unique cultural place that has similarities to Southern
That's
Alabama.
That's what I'm about to say. It ain't that unique. It's like Alabama. It's like when you go down and you take 95 down or 75, either one worse. You take them from Georgia to Florida, you better see the line. Because if you don't see the line, you don't know when you got into one or the other. You have no idea. Same North Florida, South Georgia, same place. Same place.
You fair.
Panhandle fair. And East Alabama, same place.
Florida don't start till Ocala. Around the turnpike before north of Orlando. That's when you get postcard, stereotypical Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you get stars and bars Florida. Then, you know. Anyway, that's Roy Wood Jr. Check him out on The Daily Show. He getting his comedy back on. Check him out. Follow him at Roy Wood Jr. on the tweets.
Let me just, real quick, RoyWoodJr.com, Denver. I'm taping my Comedy Central Hour special in October. Tickets are available now if you want to come be a part of history.
I might have to, Denver, you say? That might be, shall we say, extra
everything
funny.
Legal. Everything
are you
legal.
Are you doing it at Red Rocks?
No. Gothic Theater.
Yeah, I went and saw Stevie at Red Rocks. That was great. Except Stevie wasn't feeling well. And so he pulled Usher on stage to help him out. But Usher didn't know the words to the songs. And so so it reached a point where Usher had to just start dancing on the piano because he was running out of tricks. And so Stevie was trying to feed him the words. Like Usher did all the words, the ribbon in the sky, you know? And so Stevie would be like, for so long. And then Usher would go, for so long, on this night I pray. And then at one point, Usher couldn't keep up. Usher looked at Stevie and said, you talk too fast.
And it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was just the very notion. Stevie at Red Rocks. The most disappointing part, though, was that the crowd's favorite song was Stevie's biggest hit ever and my least favorite Stevie song ever, which is I Just Called to Say I Love You. And I just felt like if you liked I Just Called to Say I Love You that much, you shouldn't have been allowed to come to the show.
I'd risk 100% capacity to see Stevie Wonder. If Stevie Wonder was out right now, 100%. Stevie Wonder and Andre 3000. I wouldn't even care if people vaccinated or not. Just call me Chris Paul. I'm in there.
Tough call. Who would
Andre 3000 doing his whole catalog? I'm in there.
How about maybe Andre 3000 if he does part of the catalog? I got a few songs I prefer he not do.
You don't want him to get to the Love Below?
Yeah. Only some of those. And like the Idlewild, some of those I don't really want him to do. All his rap songs, yeah, I'm here for. Y'all told him he could sing. All y'all, because y'all wanted to look deep. Y'all told him he could sing. Am I lying?
I didn't say an Andre 3000 flute concert. concerto.
I might be okay with the flute. Just don't sing. I don't know how good he is at the flute. He might be better. I just don't want to hear him sing.
I seen him walking around East Village playing the flute. He's pretty good.
Okay. Play the flute. Play the flute. Don't sing. That's all I'm saying. All
right.
No sing.
Fair enough, man.
But ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing three times a week. My man Dave Presley handing everything behind the scenes today. Thank you, sir. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. And I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.